Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome in to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you're here with us. It is a Friday morning. It is, yes, as cold as you expected this morning. It was 7 in my truck when I got in it. TV says it's rising fairly quickly. What's that say up there, Carl? 15?
Almost double, Mark, 13.
Okay, 13 now, according to that. So in the last hour, the temperatures have risen. We're going to see temperatures in the 30s today. It's going to be like a heat wave. Can't wait for that. So we got lots to get to for you. First of all, let's celebrate the fact that pretty soon we'll know the answer to the question, who shot JFK? I love the fact that Trump is releasing this information. Now, it may take 35 or 40 days for them to release it. I'm not sure what takes so long. File is here. We transfer here. You have it. And here's what I didn't hear from the president yesterday was when we release it, there will be no redactions because that's the other trick that they do. They release documents and half of the information's redacted and you still don't get the whole truth on it. So I'm hoping beyond hope that we finally get that information after all these years of deceiving, I believe, the American public.
What if it just says Oswald acted alone? What if it just says that?
I hope maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't say LBJ ordered the president to be killed.
The CIA did it.
Thank you. I don't know. I don't know what it says. But for my entire life, that question has lingered. And they seem to go above and beyond and out of their way not to answer it. And I think it's finally time. Everybody involved in that is long dead. So let's get the answer for RFK Jr. and find out who killed his dad and his uncle. That'd be nice to know.
Do you have a pet theory that you subscribe to right now as to what happened?
I believe that our government either knew it was coming or played a role in it. That's what I believe. I don't know if it's a pet controversy. It's just a combination of reading different theories over the years on why they have information they won't release all these years later. Are you kidding me?
That would also kind of lock into how the government was running from about the 30s through the 70s.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's true. Yeah, that's Matthew Rocchio, by the way, in case you're wondering who that voice belongs to.
We'll
you've heard him doing the news. You've heard him doing the news this morning. He's sitting in for Kim St. Ange, who's got a few days off. And we appreciate that, Matthew. Thank you.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Remind the people who maybe weren't here the last time you were in doing a little bit of training with Kim what your background is.
Born and raised in St. Louis. Went to Mizzou. Since I got out of Mizzou in 2013, I've been doing radio for the last 11 years, mainly sports stuff, but now I'm getting a chance to, you know, kind of branch out here at Odyssey, doing some Camo X stuff here at KFTK a little bit, and happy to be here in the morning.
Well, we're glad to have you, and of course, we've almost got our built-in Tom Ackerman here because Matthew loves sports, and he has a background in sports radio, and you know, those Mizzou Tigers finally get ranked in the top 25 and then go to Texas and lose, right?
Yeah, that was a tough one, unfortunately, but you know, they got a chance to redeem themselves by beating up on Ole Miss.
Hey, the SEC is tough. This this year, man, from almost from top to bottom. And I'm not saying Mizzou's at the bottom, but they're at the bottom of the top 25, and the top 25 is filled with SEC teams. So they're all going to be beating each other up all season, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to be the entire season. You're going to see a couple cannibalize themselves. I still think we see probably a historic amount of SEC teams making it into the tournament all at once. It's pretty crazy.
Going to be excited. It's my favorite time of the year, other than election season, I just have to say, for sure. All right, coming up, we got lots of good stuff for you. If you missed our interview yesterday with Jake Lang, who got released from prison when the pardons were handed down, the commutations by Donald Trump. We got him on the air here yesterday. If you missed that, obviously it's available on our podcast, but we're going to replay that interview for you this morning because it happened late in the day, later in the more show yesterday, and many of you that listened in the 5 and 6 o'clock hours might not have had a chance to hear that. So I want you to hear from Jake Lang in his own words and what he's trying to do now for many of the people who were, whether you agree with some of the convictions or not, a lot of these people are regular punch a clock, go to work every day like you and I, and they were bankrupted by this. And Jake Lang is already working to try to help some of these people recover financially. So you can hear that in his own words coming up here at the bottom of the hour today. And a little later, we're going to talk to Jim Carafano. We got Will Cain on the air today, and that's a big deal. Obviously, we've carried his radio show on this station, and now he's been promoted to the afternoon show for replacing Cavuto. That's an upgrade, and we're going to talk to Will today in the 8 o'clock hour, so be sure and stay tuned for that. Carl, right now, let's hit our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
America will once again become a merit-based country. You have to hear that word, merit-based country.
Oh, they are not going to appreciate that at the World Economic Forum, the thing that's like funded every year by leftist George Soros. And Donald Trump, he spoke truth to them yesterday, just like he did on Inauguration Day.
And anybody who wants to do that in the lab should never be funded by the taxpayer. So Anthony Fauci was wrong about all this, and he's going to be judged harshly by history.
Yeah, Fauci will be judged harshly, unfortunately not in a courtroom, but he will, I agree with Rand Paul there, I think judged harshly.
The declassification of files relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That's a big one, huh?
That is a big one, huh? No kidding. That's going to be huge.
You're going to be called crazy. Many people also called Noah crazy. And then the rains came, and all the fact checkers died.
John Kennedy is killing me. Can I just tell you that? That guy, I don't know, I think he sits at home, but this is what I envision, because all this stuff is so folksy, but it can't be easy to remember. And I know that not all of it is just like off the cuff. So I think he practices these lines and then he recites them when he's in these hearings. But regardless of how or why he does it, the guy is just hilarious. So he was talking yesterday during the hearing for the Office of Management and Budget nominee Russell Vogt, V-O-U-G-H-T. I think I pronounced that correctly. He is obviously, I don't think the guy is going to face a problem going into the OMB. But Kennedy's in there saying, listen, here's what we know. You're going to face a lot of questions. And because what they want to do is make big changes and big cuts, and a lot of that would go through OMB. Go to that full bite there on Cut 9, Carl, please.
You've served in Washington for years. You're going to be called. You're going to be challenging the status quo. You're going to be called crazy. Many people also called Noah crazy. And then the rains came. And all the fact checkers died. You have to persevere.
Yes, you do. Imagine that for just a minute. Just think for a minute what you face if you are, I don't know, in charge of the Office of Management and Budget and or a member of the DOGE committee. You face a bloated federal government that has two-thirds, maybe a little more than that now, of its spending automatic. Like areas where you can't even go in and cut a single dollar. Two-thirds of the budget of the United States is off limits to the appropriators we have in Congress, to the House where they control the purse strings. How did we walk ourselves into this box? It's like we're the notorious guy who painted the floor and then realized he had painted himself into a corner. That's where we are on budgets in this country. And until some realistic conversations are had, and maybe Trump's the guy to have them, you've got to look at some of these programs that we supposedly can never cut and start looking at ways to manage that. I just read yesterday where the maximum age for Social Security just went up by a couple of months or something like that to 67 or something. You know, they changed this back in the 80s. It's been a slow process. It was designed to, I think, extend 22 times or something like that. And then this might be one of the latest ones where it just inched up just a little bit so that people born in 1985 or whatever have to wait a couple extra months to get their full Social Security. That was a minor reform compared to what needs to happen to that program, which is, you know, basically a pyramid scheme. Seriously, when you see something where not enough people are paying into it to pay the people at the top of it, that's a problem. And it's got to be addressed. People get mad at me every time I say that. I don't care. It's the truth. It's got to be addressed at some point if we're going to really affect spending at all. All right. It is a Friday. Carl, that means the fray.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That bite went through my mind this morning, that Ron Burgundy bite, I have to say. Matthew, here's what I do for my crew here on occasion.
Very appreciated.
I like to bring them breakfast, right? Sometimes on Mondays, sometimes I just surprise them. And it's not easy to find a restaurant that's open at this hour to actually drive through. But there are a couple of so-called 24-hour McDonald's restaurants in the greater St. Louis region.
Oh, and Kim hates White Castle. So
yeah.
Or else that would be a great.
That might be a possibility. Except then I'd have to risk my life by driving down South Broadway. But besides that, I found a McDonald's. There's one on Clarkson Road near the interstate, and there's one at Hanley Road near 40 that are supposed to be, they advertise themselves as 24-hour-a-day restaurants, except they're not. And this fact has been proven over and over and over again. Because sometimes, depending on who's working, it all gets down to the laziness of the employees. Sometimes, depending on who's working, I've actually managed to secure McDonald's sandwiches and brought them in here to feed yes. people. But about, I don't know, three times out of five when I try to go there, I pull up to the drive-thru or I try to use the app and the app tells me this service is not available right now. And I pull up to the drive-thru and they'll say, we're not taking any orders right now. Then why are the lights on? Is always my answer to them. Well, we're switching over from hamburgers to breakfast food. So we're not taking any orders right now. I'm like, the sign says you're open 24 hours a day. How come you're not taking my order?
It didn't say how.
Sometimes they say the computer's down. It's just always an excuse, right? So multiple times, the people at the I'm not trying to be a Karen about this, but they put a phone number on the window of the drive-thru. If you have any problems, call this number. So I call the number, I get a recording at Ruiz Family something or another. I don't know what the name of it. They must be the local franchise owner. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. It's 4:18 in the morning. All I wanted was a couple of breakfast sandwiches. And I pulled up to your window and I'm told they won't take my order. How is that possible at a restaurant that's open 24 hours a day? And usually when they do call me back, they'll apologize. They're like, well, you know, it's hard to get good help. We'll call over there and talk to them. But they should. There's never an excuse for them not helping a customer who pulls up to the drive-thru. And I don't even know how they cancel the app, because I tried to order it on the app and it said this service not currently available at this restaurant.
I bet if you go there at 5:18, you have the same issue.
I don't know, but I do know they switch over their menu at 4 in the morning from hamburgers to breakfast food. That's the switchover time. But I don't know. I've never been a short order cook.
It's not.
But it can't be that difficult.
If you've ever worked on a line in any fast casual or fast food place, you can get the food out pretty quickly. Especially like they can do hash browns whenever. They just drop those in the same fryer or they use for the regular fries. You can do the hash browns whenever, right?
Aren't they breakfast 24 hours?
No, not anymore. They did that at some point in their past. They don't do that anymore.
So now there is a cutoff. Like, so 10:30, they go from
breakfast to
McMuffins
lunch.
To burgers.
You're living in 2019 right now, Carl. You're living in a pre-COVID world when fast food was 24/7 and it was actually 24/7.
It's not anymore.
Not at all.
I don't know why. And, you know, I don't envy the people that have to work at a fast food restaurant overnight. I'm sure it's boring and it's
got to deal with people like you.
Hard work, and they have to deal with Karens like me who want breakfast food at 4:15 in the morning. But guess what? It's your job. And now you're getting paid $17 an hour to do it, or however much it is that they're paying you. And that's why my bill is usually $25 when I stop to buy four breakfast sandwiches. I mean, sometimes it's ridiculous. Sometimes you get a deal on the app where you buy one, you get one for a dollar. But then again, sometimes the app doesn't work. And you have to wonder how intentional that might be. I don't know. It struck me wrong again this morning. So somewhere at an office in St. Louis, my voice is on the recording machine this morning, trying to be logical and ask once again. It's me. Hey, it's me. I'm just going to start. Next time I leave a message, I'm just going to say, hey, it's me. It's 4:15 in the morning again, and your employees are not working. I'm on my way to work. I'm working. I couldn't show up here and not go on the air at 5 and tell you, hey, guess what? We can't serve you right now. That's not how life works. If you're in the 24-hour radio business or the 24-hour restaurant business, you have to provide service on demand. We do it here, don't we, Carl?
Every day.
Absolutely. We're never late getting on the air at 5 a.m., so I don't want to hear any excuses. Make me a sandwich.
Thanks for the donuts, Mark.
Oh, you're welcome. Amen. I had to go across the street to the QT where they're always open and they've always got donuts and bring those into the crew this morning. So shout out to the hard workers at the QT. All right, we come back. You're going to hear from a J6 hostage, Jake Lang, who's now a free man. Stay tuned.
You take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia. Take a look at what's gone on in L.A. where people murder people and they don't get charged. These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing.
Obviously, President Trump there talking about the pardons of the J6 defendants. And we're lucky enough to get one of them on the show with us this morning, Jake Lang, who we played some sound the other night when he was holding his Bible and hugging his family as he got out of jail after, what, 4.5 years? Jake, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for having me on, Mark. You guys are doing great work over there displaying this moment of American history where the votes that were casted November 5th have now materialized, and that feeling of freedom that we voted for, you can actually tangibly, viscerally see families reunited, men that are, you know, speaking, God has put it in our hearts to speak his word, to talk about our constitutional republic, how we never lost hope in this American way of life, even though we were dejected, we were rejected by our own government, by our own people for so long. The Republicans, Ted Cruz, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, all these people wrote us off, called us violent domestic terrorists, and all these horrible things. But God made a way from us after 4 years and 6 days incarceration with no trial. I'm a free man, and it is a good thing to be a free man, tell you what.
Congratulations. And, you know, the embarrassing part for me, Jake, is what you just mentioned, that as an American U.S., as a U.S. citizen, you were held, your freedom was taken away from you for the past 4 years without ever getting you to a trial. I mean, that in itself is outrageous. And I don't know if you've already considered a lawsuit or legal action of any sort. How did they get away with that, sir?
Well, they don't get away with it. That's how, I mean, you know, MAGA stands for me, Make America, or Make Accountability Great Again. And we're going to hold them accountable. We've got a new organization I formed called the Federal Watchdog. And this is a organization that's risen out of the ashes of persecution to go after all of these lawfare groups. It's actually called the Anti-Lawfare Group. And so we are now putting together a historic $50 billion lawsuit against the DOJ. Over 600 Jan 6 plaintiffs. We're probably going to have the other, 1,000, because there are 1,600 Americans that were persecuted in a sham witch hunt to try to chill the American people away from exercising their rights ever again. They thought when they arrested 1,600 Jan 6ers, everyone would go underneath rocks and go into hiding. There would never be any protests again. They would just put us through fear and submission into giving up our God-given rights. But we struck back, and this lawsuit is now going to be actually the largest ever against the DOJ. And we need your guys' help out there to fund this bad boy. This is a monster. It's going to take about 3 or 4 attorneys the next 6 months sorting through every single IGP, which is an internal grievance process that you do at the prisons when you have a problem, like a small problem, like 16 months without a haircut or shave that I went through in the D.C. gulag, or 18 months without a family visit, or years without a religious service, years without access to the law library, and also the physical and mental abuse they put us, pepper spraying us,
yeah,
punching us when we're singing the national anthem. So there are so many cases of inhumane torture. And how about this one, which it may turn and twist your audience guts a little bit. 900 days of solitary confinement I endured by God's grace alone. And so we have a legal team sifting through all this information, and we need your guys' help to fund this historic monstrosity. So please, guys, go to j6rebuild.com. That's the letter J, the number 6, rebuild.com. And when you guys are, you know, on that site, you'll also see that this is a project we put together called the January 6th Life Rebuilding Fund. And not only are we fighting the legal battles for me and my fellow brothers, what we're also doing is we're supplying first month's rent, some new sneakers, some groceries, a cell phone, the basic necessities to these men who have suffered inhumane torture and their lives have been upended and destroyed. We've got men that used to be homeowners and generational business owners coming out homeless and with no job and no career because the DOJ and the weaponized lawfare against them to persecute patriots and make them financially devastated. They paid $150,000 for their lawyers to do nothing because they couldn't do anything because we were in a rigged D.C. jury pool. So anyway, it was completely unfair. It was insanity trying to go to trial in D.C. Everything was against you. And these men have been devastated. They're penniless. Many of them have no home to go to. We have them up right now in a extended stay motel trying to get them jobs. There's 250 liberated political hostages roaming the streets of D.C. and of different areas where they got out of prison. And so we can't allow them to be destitute, guys. We need to stand around these patriots who stood up for us. Please go to J6Rebuild.com. That's the letter J and the number 6, Rebuild.com.
Jake Lang, our guest, just freed from being held without trial for over 4 years. Jake, we tried to get you on the show one time. Might have been last year. I'm pretty sure it was. And the day we had you scheduled, you couldn't make the phone call because you were back in solitary confinement. What were the conditions like in that jail?
Well, that was the most dangerous prison in America. That was Brooklyn MDC, and that's where they're holding R. Kelly and Puff Daddy and that guy Luigi that shot the United Healthcare CEO. And not only are they holding those stars there, but they're holding the most notorious gang members in New York, from the Bloods, the Crips, the Mac Ballers, the Trinitarios. And there's literally stabbings and murders and gang wars happening there all the time. When I was there for just 4 months, in a 40-day span, there were two murders that happened on my floor. And so, God forbid, that place was horrendous. And when they had thrown me in solitary confinement for making communications to the outside world, they threw me in because you have to remember, we were labeled domestic terrorists in the BOP's system. I mean, the world had labeled us that. And when they threw me in solitary confinement, my cellmate in, 24-hour lockdown was an MS-13 gang member, the big guy called Lucky, who had personally killed over a dozen people. And by God's amazing, and sovereign protection and grace, we actually ended up doing Bible studies every night together. And I got to know a man that was, unknowable because God opened up his heart to the gospel and Jesus had started to begin the long healing process in that man's life through, this thing that we call grace. And I've received that grace in my life too. Walking out of that prison just 48 hours ago, not less, 36 hours ago. And, for the first time in 4 years and 6 days, being able to hug and kiss on my fiance and see my dad. And I'm sure some of the people seen the videos on my ex account of this amazing being reunited is incredible. If you guys want to watch those videos, my ex, my Twitter is Jake Lang J6, L-A-N-G, Jake Lang J6. And the videos are, it's American history. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Jake, I'm going to run out of time here, unfortunately, but I do want to ask this. Part of the criticism of Donald Trump over these pardons is people are claiming that, we don't really support police officers because some of you were accused of assaulting officers at the Capitol that day. What's your reaction when you hear people saying that?
Well, these guys are not the officers that come get your cat out of a tree and are standing on the side of the highway cleaning up a horrible car wreck. Those guys are heroes, brave, selfless people. These are people, the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police, they hate Donald Trump and his supporters. They are like sheltered in this bubble of the D.C. swamp. And so they're all vicious BLM-supporting liberals that wanted a peace. They wanted to get at the Donald Trump supporters that amassed at the Capitol that day. We have video of overheard, little congregations of them saying, "I can't wait till the Trump supporters get here. I'm going to bash one of their faces in." And so, these men and women are violent, just like Antifa is violent against conservatives. And they perpetrated a onslaught, a murder multiple murders at the Capitol that day. We did not kill or seriously injure a single officer, and they murdered four unarmed American protesters, Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boylan, and Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips. And so, you know, we were incredibly restrained in our reaction to defend our country, to defend ourselves and our bodies against rubber bullets and tear gas and concussion grenades, and to defend the people standing next to us. I mean, you know, that's what I was trying to do at the Capitol. When you Google my name, you'll see some pretty epic photos of 1776 patriotism, but I didn't show up with those, you know, a baseball bat or a riot shield or a gas mask. Those things were found on the ground, and I scrambled to get them because we were being murdered and viciously attacked. We were not the aggressors. We were peacefully protesting when police officers tried to kill us. They're no longer police officers. They're a tyrannical force of oppression.
Jake, I'm out of time, unfortunately. Give people that website one more time, please.
Yes, guys, please support the Jan Sixers and getting our feet back underneath us. J6Rebuild.com. The letter J, the number 6, Rebuild.com. J6Rebuild.com.
Jake Lang, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
May God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. We're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. Right. Happy birthday to Neil Diamond.
Hope you're doing well.
84 years old and apparently not in great health these days. Leave it to Carl, who's a walking encyclopedia of music knowledge.
I've seen Neil Diamond twice.
Have you really?
He was fantastic in concert.
I have not. I did notice a large tractor trailer and a street blocked off near the Enterprise Center this morning, Carl, on my way in. Who is coming to town tonight?
Cody Johnson.
Never heard of him.
Me neither until yesterday.
But he sold out the, what, 20,000 seats at the Enterprise
Center? There'll be 18,150 people over at Cody Johnson tonight. I played a song of his last night at the hockey game, and someone texted me and said, "You never play great music like this." And I said, you know, the song wasn't bad. It was actually the number 34 song on Billboard's Hot 100 of the year last year.
And it's country.
It's country.
Right? Which would explain why I don't,
I don't know it either.
Listen to it.
And he also has a new song out called The Painter. And if we listen to country music, we would know any of that. And you know there are people yelling at our radio right now.
I know. One of my favorite Ryan Wiggins drops that he put together for us that runs is the one that says it's the best hard rock talk station in town. And I think that's a very good description of my show anyway. I mean, Reardon holds that up pretty regularly. Annie lets us down a little bit in the middle of the day, some of that newer stuff she plays. But I'm just saying, you know, just my take on it. So my point of saying that is if I'm not listening to 97.1 FM talk, I'm listening to rock music, which is why I would never have heard of Cody Johnson.
Right.
I'm sorry.
You found your hard rock talk station. 97.1 FM talk.
Nice.
Talk that rocks.
I love it. And we say that and then we play a Neil Diamond show song coming in.
Hey, Neil Diamond.
My apologies for that. Listen to what happened yesterday in... hold on, Carl. Why am I not finding this here?
What are you looking for?
Oh, I don't know. I just saved something and I was going to play it and now... maybe I didn't save it because now I can't find it. Anyway, it was a soundbite from Ilhan Omar, who you know we all love to hate Ilhan Omar, member of the squad, hard lefty, wants open borders, has no problem with radical Islamic movements, whether they're in the United States or overseas. And she's upset that Donald Trump is enforcing the laws of the United States when it comes to immigration. She doesn't want them enforced. She thinks we should leave the criminals alone and leave them in this country. If you disagree with her, you are some sort of a phobe. I think her favorite terminology is you are an Islamophobe if you want to do any of these things, because that's not what she wants to hear. Listen to what she was critical of yesterday, because I listened to this soundbite and I'm trying to think to myself, who in their right mind would be opposed to this? And what she's talking about here is an act signed in 1798 by John Adams. And she wants that act changed. She wants to replace it. And you almost couldn't make this stuff up. Listen to the brain trust there from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar.
Restore basic humanity to our immigration system, and that starts with repealing the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, with our Neighbors Not Enemies Act. Together, we will end this xenophobic law once and for all.
The Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Do you know why John Adams, a little history lesson, you know why John Adams wrote this law? He wrote this law because in 1798, there were a lot of foreign countries, France among them, Spain among them, others, who saw weakness in the United States. And there was a fear they were going to infiltrate the United States with aliens, like their own citizens, French, Spanish, whatever, not Spanish, Spanish, whatever. And then they were going to try to take over those areas of the United States and return them to French rule or Spanish rule or something like that. So what the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 said was, one section of it is very clear. Anytime the president of the United States declares a war with someone, the United States has the right to take all military-aged men, 14 and over, from that enemy nation and deport them. If they're living in this country, they're not naturalized, but they're French, for example, in 1798, and we had declared war on France. John Adams realized you should not be allowing French citizens to live here who might be a threat to the United States. We need to remove them. So if indeed there was, if we were at war with someone, which we're not that I'm aware of right now, other than illegal aliens, you would have the right, the president would have the right to remove. What do you think would motivate Ilhan Omar to want to change that law? What's wrong with that law unless you want to see the United States defeated and or injured? These people are insane. I'll rest my case there. Thank you very much. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Donald Trump's political comeback. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.